Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah, brought to you from Eretz HaKedesh, is daf Lamed. So, okay, the last thing that the Gemara spoke about, we talked about in our Mishnah, of Elul HaGrazo. And the understanding of the Gemara was that this is something that is going to passel the entire time, which most understand to mean is going to passel even on the time that it's Rabbana, meaning that you're not actually in the Mikdash. This is the way almost all the Rishonim learn. The Ramban understands that Guf, the Gemara's question, is referring to the D'oraisa, and why it would passel in the Mikdash if it says the Din is only Biyom Rishon of the Halacha of Lachem, and that we're trying to figure out why it would be passel, not in the extension of the Rabbana. Okay, but yesterday we learned the Sugya Libet Rashi. And in any event, the approach that the Gemara is taking, the last thing that we learned, is that even though the Lachem doesn't apply, and therefore the Halacha L'maisa is that you're allowed to borrow a Lulav during the rest of Sukkot, because you don't need Lachem. But there's another problem that comes from having stolen the Lulav. And what is that? The last thing that we learned, and this was, we'll just review the last sentence, Om Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It's because it's a mitzvah haba ba'avera. And how do we know that a mitzvah haba ba'avera is possible? Shenemar ve'hevetim gazul ve'tapiseach ve'tacholes. Over there, the Navi is berating Klal Yisrael for bringing animals that are not the highest quality animals to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it compares over there the bringing of a piseach, which is a lame animal or a sick animal, a chole, to bringing a gazoo. And there it says, Hayirtzecha, well, I'm supposed to accept such a thing. But meanwhile, what do we see? That the Torah is comparing gazoo to piseach. And a piseach, if an animal is lame, there's no way for us to make it kosher again. So that is a mum kavua. And therefore, it'll be possible forever. Therefore, the same way piseach let le takanta, there's no way to fix it. Av gazul let le takanta, that means there's no way to fix the gazul. So you might have thought that once you're kena the gazul, it would be kosher. How could you be kena it? Through yush. There's a machlokas whether yush alone, where the owner gives up on ever getting it back, whether yush alone is kena, or whether you need yush together with shinui rishus. The beginning of the sugya, the Mandi Omar here, the way Rashi is learning, is assuming Yush alone is Kaina. And therefore, you would have thought that once the owner says, I give up, I'll never get this back, that at that moment it becomes yours. So when it becomes yours, then already it's kosher. Because that would have been, if there would have been a psul of non-ownership. So indeed, when it becomes yours, now there is ownership. Kamash malon, that it's permanently possible. It doesn't make it an afkamina, whether the Bialin has given up on it, whether you took it at a time that it was already, the Bialin never assumed he'd be able to get it back, which normally would make it yours. It's not as if you're Bibakadish and Isha, it's you're giving her somebody else's money. It's your money. So how do you explain that? So Bishlam alifnei yush, I understand, because it says by the Karbanas, Adam ki akriv mikem. It has to be yours. So just like over here, mikem, lakachtem lachem, means shelachem yiyye. Adam ki akriv mikem means that it has to be your own property. And it's labdi deyu. It's not your own property. But how do you explain the fact that it's possible even liachar yush? We're over there, hakanya be yush. It's already your own, and you were kainet. There's got to be only one explanation, that the Torah is being mechadesh here, a new pagam. And that pagam is mishum dahavile mitzvah haba'a ba'avera. And therefore, once we see that that's also possible for a mitzvah, so the same thing would be true wherever you have a heftza of the mitzvah that you're going to be using. And the only way that you were kena that thing was through an avera, you can't use it for a mitzvah. And therefore, it's true that there's no dinah mishalachem, the rest of Sukkot. Okay, so then you can borrow somebody else's lulav. But on the other hand, it's also true that there's another psul if it's stolen. And that's because of Mitzvah Barbavira. So that would explain why even on the later days of Sukkot, it would be possible. There's another marker for this. Om Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Mai dechtiv ki ani Hashem ohev mishpat sone gezel ba'olam. So I hate the robbery. Somebody brings me a korban, I hate it. So now it's very strange because Lamaisa, I mean, the whole time we bring a korban, what we really is telling us we can bring him his own things because everything belongs to him. So what's the korban? So you would think, okay, so what's nafka mina? You know, so I'm bringing somebody else's animal. Ultimately, it's all our Kaddish Baruch Hu's, right? So whatever we bring, whatever we give back to him is mishalo. So what is the point of nafka mina, whether it comes from me or got it from somebody else? That's why it says, so ne gozel ba'olam, mashal melech basar adam. Imagine a case like this. Here's the king coming with his entourage after going to a summit conference. And he comes to the border and he says to everybody, make sure that you pay all of the customs duties and so on, right? So they go through the red line in which everything is going to be looked at. Open up all the suitcases, pay every last penny. So they say to him, well, but sir, you are the one who gets all of the mechas anyway. So what's the point of paying the mechas? Now, lo kol ha-mechas kolo shelchahu. So the king says to them, let people learn how to act when they come to the border, that they should come to the border and they should go open up their suitcases and make sure that they pay. So they won't try to cheat. I hate gezel. Let me be the model. Mimeni yilmedu vanai. So let people be careful to avoid gezela. Itmar nami om rabami, yavesh pasul mipnei she'in hadar. He's explaining the Mishnah. So the psul of yavesh is because of hadar, which we spoke about yesterday. Of course, we'll get to the details later on. And gozel is pasul because it's a mitzvah haba'ah ba'aveira. That explains why even though we don't have a shelachem, nonetheless, we have a psul that doesn't include Shaul, but does include Gazul. Upliga the Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak disagrees with this. Rabbi Yitzchak holds that there's no din of mitzvah baba avera on a derabbanan. And therefore, I'm Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmeni am Shmuel, lo shanu ela b'yom tov rishon, but b'yom tov sheni, from the second day on, all through the Yontav, mitok sheyotzei b'sha'ul, yotzei nami b'gazul. Since everybody's agreed, there's no psul of lachem, don't you guys also agree that sha'ul is kosher? Yes, so why should gazul be any different? And don't try to tell me that it's because of mitzvah baba vera, explains Tosfos, because he doesn't know that mitzvah baba vera is a psul on a derabbanan. He wasn't choshish for mitzvah baba vera. Moser Nachum bar Yitzchak. And it's all very nice that this is Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmeni's quote from Shmuel. I mean, but, you know, I sort of believe the Mishnah. Motzi Rabbi Nachum bar Yitzchak, lula magazul vayavesh pasul. Okay, so when is this referring to? When it says it's stolen, why does it have to be stolen? If it's the first day, I mean, what do you have to take such an extreme case that it's stolen? It could have said sha'ul, even if it's borrowed, that it's pasul, because after all, the Pasuk says, Mishalachem, which excludes a borrowed lulav. So this must be telling me that only because it's gazul is it possible. But ain't achinami, if it would have been shaul, it would have been kosher. Now tell me when that's referring to, please. I mean, emas, what is that, b'yom tov rishon? Is shaul kosher, b'yom tov rishon? It's not, because Mishalachem, it says lachem, Mishalachem. And therefore, if you borrowed it, it's not yours. I love the deyu. It must be that the Mishnah is referring to some time where there's no problem of Sha'ul, but there is a problem of Gazul. That can't be the first day. And it's telling me, so we're talking about over here from the second day on, right? Elala b'yom tov sheni. V'katani Gazul pasul. So I'd explain that. So obviously it continues to be Gazul being a psul throughout Yom Tov. And if that's the case, the only explanation that we've come up with is because of Mitzvah Baba Avera. And Shmuel is here quoted as saying there's no such psul, but he's arguing on the Mishnah. Amar Rava, actually, you could learn that the Mishnah is referring to Yom Tov Rishon. Why does it mention an extreme case of Lulav HaGazel? Because the Lulav HaGazel case is dafke, not the extreme case. The Lulav HaGazel case is the Chiddush. Why? Because I would have said like this, let me buy comments, trying to tell me not only is the Sha'ul the Pasul because it's not yours, but Gazul is Pasul even though you would say it is yours. So I would have thought Sha'ul, okay, it's not yours, obviously. I mean, we're all agreed it's not yours. The problem is that if you steal it, you can run into a situation where it is yours. Why? Because I might have thought that stam gizela yeush ba'alimu. If a person steals something by highway robbery, it's not like he burglarized your home, he just takes it from you. So you might have thought that if the guy could get away from taking it from you, you've given up and you're not going to assume that you're going to be able to get it back again. Therefore, I would have thought, Bobby, can you mute yourself? I think you're getting... You're creating problems here. So if, in that case, I would have said Stam Gizela is a Yirush Ba'alim, so Mimela, it's his. So what's the problem? Therefore, Kamash Malam, that even a Lulav HaGozel is possible on the first day, and that we don't say that there's Yirush Ba'alim automatically. But in any event, there's no riot from the Mishnah against Shmuel. Omeluhu Ravuna. Now we're going to see that Rav Huna actually disagrees with the assumptions that we've been making, and he holds that Yush alone would never be Kena, but that Yush is Kena only together with Shinoi Rishus. So it's a little different than what we've been saying up until now, but that's his Shita. This is a big machlokas for the Yush. It's called Yush Kedi Kena. Is Yush Kena all on its own? Or is Yirush Kena only when it's together with something else? A Shinui Maisa, a Shinui Rishus. So Rav Huna holds that Yirush alone is in Kena. So he said, Lahanu Avankre, he said to these merchandisers, Rashi uses the word merchandise, merchandise. So these merchandisers, like basically junk dealers, you know. So, I mean, Chas V'Shalom, we shouldn't call it, but it's the same kind of idea. Just, these are guys that run around, you know, like nowadays, you could just imagine this. So these are guys that run around and they sell, you know, spools of thread. They sell cables for your iPad, whatever, anything, any junk that people are going to need as they're walking down the street. So during circus, they sell the Arba Minim. You got to be a millionaire to afford the Arba Minim. Okay, but they're selling the Arba Minim together with iPad cables. All right, so anyway, so he tells these Avankari, he says to them, look, if you guys, I know, you know, like very often, you will buy stuff from goyim that are selling all of these things, right? So just make sure that when you buy hadasim from these goyim, make sure that you don't cut the hadasim yourselves. Don't cut them off of the bush. So kizavnita asim yavdekochavim lo tigzu aton. Let them do the cutting and give it to you. Why do I say that? Because stam yavdekochavim are gazlanei ar'ataninu. Goyim, they usually will be stealing the land, especially from Jews, you know, where you can get a false contract. The court's never going to back the Jew. So, okay. So because of that, it turns out that if they, you yourself would be the one who took them from stolen land, so then it wouldn't be kosher anymore because karka is never an exilit. Even if the Bailam arm is Yashim, there's no din of taking possession of somebody else's land because it can never go out of your rishus. The only way that Yush would be kena is if it shayach, that it should leave his rishus. So that would be unmetaltali. But land is never going to be kena to you just because you keep the owner out. So now if you go ahead and you cut them from the tree, so then you're going to be stealing. And therefore, they're going to be puzzled for the mitzvah. Let them cut the hadasim, and then there'll be a situation of Yush Bailim b'yadayu didhu. So then, at that point already, the goyim were koneh it, because the balaam were misyashim. V'shinu yarishus b'yadayu. Then when they hand it over to you, so here's where I said that you see Rav Huna holds that you need yush and shinui rishus, that yush alone wouldn't be sufficient. So let there be shinui rishus b'yadayu, and that way it'll be kosher. But don't sell them if you were the ones who actually cut them. Ask the Gemara, wait a second, and what would be so terrible if the Avankari would be the ones who would cut them? So then what would happen? So then the Yush Bailin would be chal on the Avankari. Okay, I understand. So the Avankari, according to Rav Huna, would not be able to use this for themselves. All right, but now the Avankari is selling them to whoever buys them. And at that point, you have now the minute of the kinyan comes from the yush and the shinui rishus. So when you bought it, they had basically given you something that is yours. So what would be the problem? It would be yush bailin biadayu, and then it would be shinui rishus in the hands of the buyer, in which case it should be completely kosher. So what would be the problem? This is no mitzvah bo b'aveira. It's they didn't do the aveira, and it's their own. So I understand what the problem is. No, you're right, says the Gemara. The truth is that the Rav Huna was telling them about their own stuff. He wasn't telling them about what to sell. He was talking about the Hoshanas. We refer to the Hadassim over here as Hoshanas because they used to refer to the entire Lulav as Hoshana because you used to use it for the Hoshana. I'll say it's important in a moment for La Halacha that it was referred to as Hoshana. That's why we switch over here. So lo tzricha b'oshana davankari gufaya. So talking over here about the various meaning that the avankari themselves were going to use. So Rav Huna was saying, listen, even though you may be in the habit of cutting it and then selling it and assuming that it'll be kosher for, now obviously, I mean, we could have said, wait a minute. But I mean, why wouldn't Rav Huna be telling them, listen, be careful, you shouldn't be the ones who are doing the gezeila. No? I mean, over here, we're only interested in the kashrus and the lulav. You know, the fact that you'd be stealing, that's okay. You got into the stealing. I mean, it's very strange that the Gemara doesn't say that he's giving them advice on not to steal, right? But I mean, for that, we'd have to say that stam akum or gazlani ara, that therefore it would be a gezeila, that much we don't have the kashrus for. Now, any indication over here that it's actually stolen goods. But if it comes, it's going to be ma'akim, your mitzvah. You want to make sure that it's not stolen goods. So for that, he was telling them. So therefore, when it comes over here to give me the halacha of their own lulav, you guys may be selling things and you're telling everybody it's kosher, but that's kosher. But it's not kosher for you. It's only kosher for the people that are buying it. So make sure that when you are going to be using your own stuff, make sure that you don't use it the way that the buyer uses it. That's big chat, right? Because you figure, okay, if it's I'm selling badat stuff, it should be kosher for me too. And in this case, it isn't. So therefore, the avankare, the hoshana avankare gufayu, Rav Huna was telling them, make sure that you are not in a position of having something that isn't kosher. But wait a minute. I understand that it's not shinui rishus, but remember that if you hold yush b'chti lo kani, then alon, you're not concentrating over here. If you hold yush b'chti lo kani, so you need yush with something else. The yush with something else could be yush with shinui balim. I understand shinui rishus. Okay, so you're saying they won't have shinui rishus, but there's another way to be kaina, and that is yush with shinui maisa. So when you change something, the very fact that it's changed means that now it becomes yours. So let's say if you take lumber and you build something out of it, right? So then the very building of it is going to be considered a shinui maisa, and now you are kaina. So therefore, since over here, when you go and you create a lulav, so now you've taken all of these various minim and you've put them together, and now you've got yourself a lulav. Isn't that a shinui maisa? No, says the Gemara. First of all, according to Rav Huna, apparently he holds that lulav ain't tzarech eget. There's no chiyuv to make your lulav into a bundle, so there isn't any change. What's the change, Bechlal? This is a machlokas we had before, we're going to have later, whether lulav tzarech eget. So the question over here is if it doesn't require it, so then it's not much of a change. And therefore, it's not considered to be Shinui Maisa. Well, there's another possibility. Let's say that he even holds Lulav Tzarech Eged. What kind of Shinui Maisa is an Eged? I don't understand. That what? That you stuck it into those little things that hold it, the Kaishalach? Or that you tied it together with something? I mean, so untie it. This is called a Shinui HaChozer LeBriyato. This is a Shinui that goes right back to the way that it was. And a Shinui HaChozer LeBriyato is not considered to be a Shinui Bechalal. So therefore, he told them, make sure that you are kind of Shinui Rishos. Okay, fine. Shinui Rishos, we wouldn't have had. Shinui Maaseh, we wouldn't have had. But how about Shinui Hashem? There's yet another way to be kind of together with Yush. Once something, I don't know, we can't keep alone here involved. See, that's alone, at least you're brave. Everybody else doesn't bother showing their face. So they don't get into trouble. But
well, there's just a little entertainment happening in our lounge, so it's slightly distracting. Sorry.
I keep telling you not to watch Sesame Street at the same time that you're doing the Daf Yomi. Alrighty. Now I understand why Naftali has kept his picture off. Yes, indeed. Even though I've been so waiting to see Naftali for such a long time. Well, I'm not going to get him there. He's not going to risk his life. All right. Thanks for showing up. So there is another way. There's Yush Bichti. If you don't know the Yush Bichti, there's Yush Vashinui Rishos. If you don't know the Yush, if you don't have a case of Yush Vashinui Rishos, you can have Yush Vashinui Maisa. If you don't have Yush Vashinui Maisa, we can have Yush Vashinui Hashem. And we still have that. So if something has now been transformed into something with a new moniker, we refer to it in a different way. So why can't we be kind of over here? Because originally, we had these things before they were made into the medium of a lulav and put together with a lulav. People referred to these things as asa. You know, so you would walk into a flower shop and say, I need myrtle. You know, all right, so fine, so you buy some myrtle. But the moment that, I mean, have you ever heard anybody refer to hadassim as myrtle? These are now a lulav. So they're called hashamas. That's a whole different thing, right? I mean, kar habile asa. And now that I put it together with my lulav, now it's called a Hoshana. And if it's called a Hoshana, it's like a completely different kind of thing. Says the Gemara, no, actually, me Hoshana is always how we refer to, even to raw myrtles. Because the name Hoshana was used as a reference to all of the different meaning, even on their own. And therefore, it would be considered to be anyway, not a Shinui Hashem. I mean, that the obvious question over here is, I mean, if we were already ready to say that it's not even called a Shinui Maisa, because we're ready to just undo it, and it's a Shinui HaChozer LeBriyasai, I mean, so wouldn't that sort of be a Kavol Chomer? That if it's a Shinui Hashem, so then if you could just untie it or take it out of the Kaishalach, and now it turns back into Miss Myrtle, instead of Hoshana, I mean, wouldn't that obviously not be considered a Shinui that would be serious because it's Chozer LeBriyasai? So Tosfos has a number of different approaches to this problem. One is that maybe Enochinami, we were saying this Aliba, the Shita that holds the Shita of Rabbi Yosef, who holds that even a Shinui a Chozer LeBriyasai would be considered to be a Shinui, which is a little strange, I mean, because we would have to change it from Shinui Maisa to Shinui Hashem. Or that does suggest it could be that where we have both a Shinui Maisa and a Shinui Hashem. So over there, the Chozer LeBriyasai in the Gemara didn't mean that it would only be a Shinui Hashem. But since over here we have two elements of Shinui, then the Chozer LeBriyasai is no longer so meaningful to us because it comes across as a completely different object until you actually were Mishanah.